the DL debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love in Sarah's kitchen.
Check this. Welcome one and all to the DL debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via podcast. What was a huge weekend of GAA action in the county. Later on the show, Maureen O'Donnell is going to be on to give us her take on St Union's finally getting across the line and winning their intermediate title in the ladies' football, and an epic, epic battle between Glenfinn and Termon. Glenfinn winning the senior ladies' title. As I say, Maureen will be on to give us the lowdown on those games. But first up, we have the main man from the Donegal News for a look across the senior and intermediate championships and a wee look at the playoff battles as well. It is Ryan Ferry. Ryan, how are you this evening?
I'm good, Brendan. How are you getting on?
You're keeping well. Another manic Monday.
Yeah, well, Monday is a lot more stress-free than Sunday evening. Anyway, it was kind of a bit hectic yesterday getting it all. We're not a huge fan of the 5 o'clock Sunday games in the Donegal News, but anyway, so be it.
I could see you beavering away there typing. I didn't want to be talking too much to you up in the commentary box, but it was nice to watch the games. Ryan, before we get into the Sunday's games and what happened yesterday, just across the other two games pre that, the Éireann, St. Michael's and Kilcare and McCool's. Kilcare obviously blown McCool's away, and Éireann, somewhat surprisingly, people find that game hard to call. Well beaten by St. Michael's. A big performance by them, maybe gives them a bit of encouragement going into a semi.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's definitely very impressive. Like, I actually tipped St. Michael's to win it. I just thought maybe their craft and experience would come through in a tight game, but it didn't really play out like that at all. You know, I don't know if Éireann were caught in the headlights a bit, but, you know, they got off to a very slow start. Of course, they were missing a couple of important players, Shane McGrath and David Dolan, and just couldn't get a foothold of the game. And, you know, they were 1-6 to no score down before they knew it. And, you know, I suppose St. Michael's maybe lost away for maybe two periods in the game, which kind of, you know, kept Éireann competitive. But really, you know, there was only ever going to be one winner from about 15 minutes in. And, you know, St. Michael's, you know, they're tough. Like, you know, I know we're mentioning there that Éireann were missing players. Of course, they were missing players too. You know, Colm Anthony McFadden wasn't playing. Colin McFadden had been out with concussion and didn't feature. You know, even the manager himself, Daniel McLaughlin, you know, is probably only about 31 maybe. And, you know, he's a fine player and he hasn't played this year. So they are short a lot of players themselves. But, you know, they do have Michael Langan, who is probably the best player in the county at present. So, you know, they'll be, I'm sure they're looking forward to the semi-final now, the first one since 2017. They were well beaten that day, and they'll hope to put up a much better account of themselves next week and try and get through to the county final. And I believe it'll be the first time since 2011 if they could make it there.
Yeah, that's it, Ryan. You know, earlier on in the season, we weren't thinking anything of St. Michael's possibly getting into a county final. But, you know, after that performance, and as you said, should McFadden get back on the form that we've seen him in, he certainly would cause a few problems. And you just mentioned Michael Langan. I think you're 100% right in that. I mean, there seems to be very little that Langan can't do. You know, he just seems to have all the skills of the day. And tying him down, I think, is a huge thing for St. Junan's in that semi.
Yeah, like, you know, like Rory Kavanagh, I was saying to him after the match yesterday, like, he was a fine midfielder in his own right, and he probably wouldn't enjoy going up against Michael Langan, because, you know, he's such power and strength coming from the middle of the field. He can kick points from right or left foot, but there's always a goal threat. Like, if he picks the ball up 45 metres from goal, and, you know, there's not a huge amount of traffic in front of him, like, it, you know, it could be a goal very, very easily. You know, he picked up a knock earlier in the championship and he missed a few games. And, you know, St. Michael's just aren't the same side, like, without him, you know, at full tilt. When he's going at 100%, you know, he's really, really good. You know, like, he is playing in midfield. He played in midfield for Donegal this year, of course, as well. And, you know, that's his best position. And St. Union's, you know, their think tank will be, you know, going over it long and short over the next day or two about what they're going to do with him. Because, you know, if he gets into a stride, they'll be in bother, you know, because he has the potential to rack up a big score by himself.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff. And, Ryan, can we read anything into Kilcare, McCool's? You know, a lot of people talking about the brilliance of Kilcare. I'm sure now that they won't be playing into that when a game is such one-sided and I suppose after the battle that Niamh Connell had yesterday and have come through, it's not much of a game for them taking them into a match like that.
No, it's not. Like, and I just actually watched the back this morning just because I didn't get over to that game. But, you know, I don't know if they can take anything from it. You know, there was a gale force wind going down the pitch and they racked up a big score and it was over at half time. You know, like, not to be disrespectful to the Ardragh club because they have fabulous facilities down there. But, you know, I just, you know, to me, it wasn't the right venue for a senior football championship quarter final where, you know, the wind was always likely to be a big affair or a big factor in it, should I say. And, you know, maybe people will say, well, it was a very blustery night, but, you know, like, I was at the centre of excellence on Saturday evening and there wasn't a pick of wind in it. So, you know, like, I just think that the wind was always going to dictate that game. And when Kilcar, I think they won the toss and they played with the breeze and sure, it was over at half time. Like, and, you know, have they learned much from that? I don't know. Like, I suppose what we can say for sure is they're not giving up big scores. You know, that's 2 points Macuda's got. Ardragh got 3 points against them. Fourmaster's got 3 points against them. So, you know, they're not giving up cheap scores in any way or form at all. Like, you know, so, you know, it was interesting Ryan McHugh playing in a much more offensive role than what we would have seen of him over, you know, even for club or county. You know, he's playing kind of really very much inside in the forward line and coming out a bit, but, you know, he's not really back in his half back line where he has been before. So that's an interesting change they've gone with. Stephen McBrearty in great form over the last couple of weeks, and they just have so many players that can hurt you, you know. And, you know, McCool's just couldn't really live with that. But have Kilcar learned a great deal about themselves? You know, I would imagine they probably haven't, you know, but they did get that big game against St Unions at the start of the championship. So, you know, they have had a good test in this championship already.
Yeah. Tell me, just looking at that, it looks like the defensive, I mean, it's hard to believe those score lines, you know, that Kilcar have kept down. And everyone was looking maybe at the other sides being maybe that bit more tight defensively. Is that, do you think, where Kilcar have looked and gone, right, how can we improve? We have loads of firepower, we have loads of players to stream forward. How do we get very, very rigid at the back and defensive? Because it looks like the teams who won the titles in Donegal, it's defence first. You've got to get the defence into that perfect position that you can then hit on the counter-attack. And it looks like Kilcar are really planning for such a duel with what is now Niamh Connell.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about it, Brendan, is they have so much of the ball, you know, like they're, you know, they get it and they keep it. And, you know, teams exert so much energy trying to win the ball back. You know, when they get it, it's very hard to, you know, to attack those teams, you know, outside of the top four. Like, they really struggle. And I suppose, you know, those teams don't, even McCool's, you know, with a player of Oisin Gallen, you know, they had to go out deep to try and get on the ball. And, you know, they couldn't really work him into situations where he was one-on-one with a Kilcar defender. So, while I'm sure Kilcar are very happy with how their defence have been performing, you know, I think they'll get a much stiffer test this weekend and we'll see really, really how that back line is shaping up.
Yep, interesting stuff. And just going to yesterday's games, Ryan, St Unions, what do we read into this? Again, you know, you're looking at Kilcar there, not much to be read on that performance. St Unions in yesterday, although they were given a sticky test by a 14-man St Nolan's in the end, coming out 2-12 to 2-5, it wasn't the type of performance that's going to make you think, you know, there's a championship there.
No, like, I don't think it will strike huge fear into St Michael's either, you know, ahead of this weekend. I think, in fact, St Michael's maybe might get a bit of hope from it because, you know, St Nolan's managed to frustrate them for a long period. It was interesting to Noel's approach. Like, you know, they were very, very defensive and it was pretty much, you know, a lot of men back. And, you know, they really took out Sean Patton's, you know, kickouts. Like, they just give the kickout straight to St Unions. And, you know, like, Sean Patton is obviously a big weapon, but if all he's doing is chipping the ball out 20 metres, you know, you're not really getting the best of his kickouts then. And there's maybe not a lot you can do about that. But yeah, they were, you know, they were patient at times in the first half. You know, it was 6-2, but there was a bit of a pedestrian pace to it, really. And you still just thought that Unions would eventually kick into gear. And then St Nolan's kind of rocked them with 1-1 in the start of the second half. And you were thinking, perhaps there is a game on here. But, you know, they did get it going again. The likes, their younger players really, in particular, kind of stepped up to the fore, Brendan. Conor Donald Jr., you know, he was very good. You know, he's sharp, he's explosive, and he has no fear of having a go. Like, you know, he's a positive player. Shane O'Donnell made a big impact. And I thought Kieran Tobin at right half back had a very good game. You know, and those were the kind of players that were powering them through, you know, but it hasn't probably been swashbuckling so far from St Union's. You know, like they're getting results, and you know, they'll tell you that a 1 point win is as good as any, you know, like, but you know, I do think, you know, St Michael's will have been given a bit of hope from what they've seen over the last couple of weeks, but you know, it's still very hard to back against St Union's, like, with all the quality they have.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Ryan. After the match, I caught up with joint manager Andrew Geller of St Noel's, and also caught up with Rory Geller. Here's what they had to say.
Yeah, look, I suppose after the sending off of Stephen Griffin, it came after a few minutes, and the game then kind of followed a really, well, I wouldn't say predictable, but St Noel's certainly made it very, very hard for us, you know. I was still reasonably happy with most parts of our game in the first half. You know, we went in with a 4 or 5 point cushion, but I just felt that the final pass at times was a wee bit forced. I thought we were trying to kick ball inside, sometimes delivering flat passes to forwards when it wasn't really on, when we needed probably just to work the score a wee bit better. But look, the second half, you know, if we thought it was going to be easy, it absolutely wasn't, you know. They got a real good platform, a felt off breaking ball in their own kick out, and they managed to gain a lot of sort of momentum from that, you know, and we didn't seem to match them for sort of hunger and physicality around that. So that's certainly an area that we'll need to kind of go away and address. But no, fair play to them. They come back and got the goal and brought it back. Was it level?
And, there's a point
and,
in it.
And, you know, I suppose, Bryn, like, we've been in these positions now in the last few games, and I think back to Terman, and you know, I think back even to Van Doorn last weekend. They got the goal and they came back, and the reaction's been good, and that's probably the only positive. Like, you know, the reaction has been very, very good to those, and we managed to steady the ship. But no, definitely a huge amount of work to do for next weekend semi.
Yeah, quelled that, I suppose, that championship ambition. Rory going into it now, a lot of work to do with St Michael's. We're just looking back, you know, time on the ball can be a dangerous thing in sport. A lot of teams have a lot of time in the ball. With that extra spare man now, everybody's looking for teams just to overrun teams. It's a hard thing, I suppose, to get players in the mindset of engaging in that kind of championship type game when they have so much time on the ball and they have a spare man. So is that something you need to work on getting into a semi-final with St Michael's?
Listen, they were well set up, you know, and even with the numerical advantage, we always felt that it was going to be a sticky enough game, like, because of the way that they had set up. But look, I think our accuracy in the final pass definitely wasn't good at times, but you know, give credit to St Noel's. You know, they made a real fist of it there in the second half, and it took us to, you know, calling a few subs to come on as well, to settle things down, you know, and eventually get over the line.
And just a small word on the amount of goal chances St Union's created today. You know, I think there can be 7 or 8 in there, and I know Niall's goal in the end probably was the defining moment in terms of Union's pulling away. But again, that clinical nature inside, I think particularly the one that McCall knocked away from O'Donnell Jr. He was looking to fist it across. Those are the type of things where it'll be the winning and losing against a team that's going to ask more questions.
Yeah, listen, when you get those chances, we need to definitely be a lot more clinical, and that's maybe one thing that we were maybe a wee bit disappointed with was that final pass, because we had created quite a few openings, and it just seemed to be overworked at times, when I felt, you know, sometimes there was opportunities just to take the point, and we tried to maybe force it a wee bit too much, and the final pass went to ground, and it was intercepted or whatever. So look, I suppose it's job done from our perspective at the end of the day. There'll not be a lot of maybe people talking about this half of the draw, which is fine by us, but you know, we know that we're going to be presented with another huge challenge again next week. Ourselves and Michael's, whenever we've met in championship, has always been nip and tuck, so it'll be the same, I'd imagine, next weekend, you know.
Yeah, we couldn't ask for any more, you know. We're down to 14 men. We lost Stephen, probably one of our main players, with 5 minutes into the game, and we knew we knew 15 men, we were going up, our backs were going to the ball, and with 14 we knew we had to work that extra bit harder, you know, and we kept in the game with probably 15 minutes ago, you know, and boys probably tired, maybe the legs were tired, a lot of running and chasing there with extra man. So, you know, we're proud of them, we can't ask for any more. And, you know, it's onwards and upwards.
Yeah, and Andrew, just in that second half, everybody's waiting for St Junius to take over. The goal, slightly fortuitous, but all the same, you'll take what's going on in the Championship. It left a point in it. At that stage, could you sense maybe a wee bit of, I suppose, Union's been afraid of this comeback, that St Noss could hold out and maybe pull off a shock?
Yeah, well, that's what we spoke about. We spoke about maybe being in the game with 15 minutes to go, you know, and, you know, that's where we were. We were in that position, you know, when the goal was, we'd be forcing it, you know, but, you know, we had a couple of chances after that, maybe to peg on a score or two or get a free, you know, we didn't do that, and we kind of knew then that when Unions went to stretch it out to 2 or 3 points that we were really chasing it.
Yes, yes. And I suppose ones in the Championship there, you beat Glen Swilly, Milford, Terman, unlucky to lose Glen Finn. It's, you know, it's been a brilliant Championship up until this point for St Noel's, you know, 2 years up from intermediate. You've really stabilised yourself as a proper senior side this season.
Yeah, you know, the boys, when we got the draw at the start of the year, we kind of, you know, it was a good draw. We got Glen Finnan, we got Terman. So, you know, we knew we obviously beat Terman, and Glen Finnan we didn't beat. So we got Glen Swilly at home, and that was a big result for us. You know, we weren't given much hope. That was a big result and kind of a turning point of the year, really. You know, and then we beat Milford well last weekend and it took us into the quarterfinals. And, you know, it's the first time in the club's history. You know, and the boys have been working hard all year, and a few young fellas come in there next year as well. You know, Connor Campbell and a couple of 17s and that, so you know, it's something to build on for the future.
Yeah, listen, Brendan, Andrew, my apologies. Yourself and Brendan, of course, are the two men in charge this season, and it's been a great season for you. So you're going to guide the team against next year?
Well, we'll see. We'll take a break now for a while and see what happens over the winter, you know. But it's a follow on commitment now, you know, with club football the way it is, you know. So we'll just take stock now and see and just enjoy the winter.
Yeah, good question, but the two lads. Brent, just on with Andrew there, I just said them about, you know, St Noel's, you know, really, I suppose, this season, they've really, I suppose, become a senior force. You know, second year up from intermediate can be difficult for sides to cope. You know, the first year, you're probably coming with a lift of the senior championship and the buzz it creates. The second year can be more difficult, but St Noel's have really grown under it, and they've had some really positive performances, and I suppose going into next year's championship, they can be positive that they can go and match and make a game for anybody in the county.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I saw all their 5 games, and I was really impressed with them. And pretty much every game, even the game they lost narrowly to Glen Finn, I thought they did well. You know, I think to be fair, I think Patrick Morgan is such a huge player, and he's going to be such a huge player for them going forward, because he takes on that responsibility, gets the ball, and he drives at opposition teams, and he wins frees, you know, and just gets them up the field that little bit quicker. You know, like obviously Stephen Griffin's loss was huge yesterday, you know, and you know, if he had been on the pitch, you know, they possibly would have been even closer. Like, you know, because he very rarely does he not score from play or even a couple of frees or whatever, you know, and he's such an influential player. But yeah, like I thought Brendan McCall again had a great game yesterday, saved 2 certain goals, and you know, also had a big role in the first St Noel's goal as well, you know, and to me had a great championship, which augurs very well for Donegal going forward. And Barry Griffin was another man who I thought had a very good championship as well, big strong lad. I think he wore number 3 most of the way, but he was pretty much playing in the middle of the field or in the half back line, and I thought he had a fine championship.
I mean, just as I said to Roy there, time and the ball, you see now, I suppose, and I'm not making excuses for St Junius, but, you know, loads of teams, particularly now as teams drop off them, as St Noel's were going to do, and of course down to Fort Bean meant that Moore was going to be a tactic that they had to definitely employ to protect their team. So St Junius, then, you've loads of options, the handy ball. I know it's all right saying, but why don't you just go for the juggler? But do you think that's a difficult thing for St Junius to get around in terms of forcing the issue then and maybe driving home not just a numerical advantage, but so many skillful players in it? It's as if there's so much keep ball out around the defensive shape that you're just maybe looking for that wee bit extra punch from St Junius. I suppose that's what they need to work on getting these St Michaels.
Yeah, like I would agree. And, you know, if you look at the teams left in the championship, like even, you know, St Michaels, Niamh Connell, Kilcarran, they're all probably likely to sit back. You know, and you know, St Junius probably would like if it was a more orthodox setup. You know, and there would be more space for their forwards and stuff. But you know, the teams are trying to cut out cut off the space in between the lines so that they can't get running at them. And it is difficult. And you see them, you know, they're trying to work the ball wide and move it quickly and come at different angles. But it is hard, you know, and in fairness, like that man I mentioned earlier on, Conor Donald Jr., you know, he got on the ball a couple of times on the edge of the D and a quick wee dart to his right hand side, and he got that shot away. Like, the, I suppose maybe it's just trying to make sure that you're freeing up the right men on in one on one situations if that is possible. People that if they get that half a yard that they can unleash the shot and that might get the score. But it is difficult. Like, you played Niall O'Donnell inside for a lot of it yesterday. You know, is that getting the best of him in there, or do they need him fuller out? It's difficult, and you know, teams are going to set up to get bodies back and frustrate them, and you know that's something they're going to have to work on. And you know, like a lot of these younger players, St Union's, you know, have come up through underage, you know, football where they maybe wouldn't have really encountered a huge amount of that, so they're possibly finding their feet as they go as well. Like, you know, so it is a young St Union's team, and they will learn, and I think they will grow as the weeks pass by if they can stay in the championship.
Yeah, set up for a good game. Switching over to the Gidor Niamh Connell match, Ryan. Before the game, you know, we were kind of 50-50 and who was going to win. When we heard reports of injuries to Niamh Connell and that, you were thinking, right, Gidor, they looked like they were coming into this game in good form. What we've seen was, you know, we talk about tactics and commitment and shape and, you know, to a man, you know, as I said, the Niamh Connell were first class. It's the goodest championship performance I've seen in a long time from anyone in the county, and thoroughly deserving victors. 5 points, 110 to 8 points. It 110 to eight. It could have been a lot more, Ryan.
Yeah, I agree, and I had that in the paper today that I felt it probably flattered Gwydor, really, you know, because they just couldn't really live with Niamh Connell. Like, when Jack McKelvey's goal went in, you know, I just really, Niamh Connell just completely took over after that. Like, and you know, they were able, they broke so quickly out in the counter, you know, the Dohertys, like the likes of Ulton and Union and Norn Doherty, like, they give them such speed on the break, and Ethan O'Donnell, and you know, like, Gwydor just seemed to be kept getting bottled up every time they went in attack, and like it wasn't like that for Niamh Connell, and they were able to work their scores much better. And yeah, like, you know, probably Niamh Connell maybe been a bit of, I don't know if stuttering is the right word, like, they haven't been at their best, but like, that was a real statement performance there yesterday. Like, they really, really went after it. And, you know, everybody was expecting a tough game that would go right down to the wire. Like, it didn't materialise like that at all. Like, you knew from pretty much 20 minutes ago that Niamh Connell were going to win, and they were able to manage it so, so well. And, you know, they just so many threats. Like, you know, when you were looking at it, and, you know, I was saying last week, you know, if Kieran Thompson was bottled up or Charlie McGuinness, you know, would there be enough scores for Niamh Connell? You look at the performance Jack McKelvey had yesterday, he was superb. You know, Eunan Doherty, 2 points off his weaker left foot. You know, Kevin McGettigan, you know, an unsung hero, really. Like, you know, every game he seems to get up and get a score. He's very competent in front of the post. And, you know, they've such a good spread. And as you mentioned, you know, they were missing key men yesterday. But, you know, they've still such a good squad. And, like, I think that Dermot Malloy, they only got on in the last couple of minutes, maybe. So, you know, that's just what they have. Like, and, you know, I think if teams thought they were on the wane, you know, they might have to reassess that judgment this week.
Yeah, certainly, right. And as you said, Ryan, there seemed to be a lot of questions about Niamh Connell coming into the game, different players. And it looked like the Gidor maybe had slightly better form than they had, and also had maybe players that could maybe open up Niamh Connell's defence. It was an absolutely phenomenal performance. When you think, you know, how everyone is playing now, Maxi in there, you know, with Cash, you were thinking both teams going to be set up very similar. So it comes down then to the, I suppose, the application of those tactics and how each player plays. And you would say right across the board, everyone in Niamh Connell guys from the off looked like they were really up for this championship. We're going to take it to Gidor. I know Gidor kicked the first couple of points, but after that, Niamh Connell had 1-4 without reply, and that really put them on. As you said, McKelvey's 2 scores, absolute. I mean, the first point without Sid LeBoot, phenomenal. And Eunan Doherty's back-to-back points in the second half, and you mentioned that man McGettigan. I spoke to the management after it about McGettigan, and just all over the pitch, you know. I mean, you look across to Gidor then, you know, who really stood out and played well for them. you know, so many of the players just couldn't seem to get into the game outside of probably McNeilis. You know, you're scratching your head. Now, they've kind of forced them into shooting from awkward angles, and you could just feel that the life kind of suck out of them a wee bit. And then Leave Connell was getting them on the hitting the door on the break, then, if you like. So that tactical formation, Ryan, about who sucks who into the other team's tactics, Leave Connell were so good at the back, it ended up them breaking into the space. And that's why we're saying they kicked on and won the game.
Yeah, and like I agree with you. I thought McNeilis had a good game. I thought he pushed hard. But, you know, I thought there was other players in the Guidor camp that probably just didn't step up in the same way that the Leave Connell players did. I thought there was also an interesting battle. And probably both games, in the opening game as well, St Ninians and Knowles, you know, breaking ball and kickouts was something the St Ninians really struggled on, something they'd have to work on. You know, I've watched Guidor in a couple of games this year, and their press on opposition kickouts is so difficult to, you know, get past. But Niamh Connell had great joy yesterday. Like, you know, Steve McGrath, he seems to have that big kick out long to his left hand side, and you know it was being broken down. But Niamh Connell, man, time after time, seemed to come out with the ball. Like, you know, and you know they used it so well. You know, they were able to work the ball where it was and get one on one situations, and men were prepared to take on other people. Whereas Guidor, you know, some of their decision making, you know, they were taking shots from bad angles, they dropped balls short, you know, they were being hassled and harried at all times. You know, they just probably didn't have that real composure, and you could see the players were getting frustrated with each other too as the game progressed, and it just didn't happen for them, and they'll be disappointed because, as you said, things were looking good for them coming into this championship after probably a poor 2020, and you know there'll maybe be a few question marks over them again now.
Yeah, there certainly isn't any question marks over Niamh Connell. After the match, I caught up with their manager, Martin Regan.
Yeah, no, really, really pleased with where we were at there. You know, the application from every single player, as you said, all 15 of them, and I suppose a reflection, we didn't make our third sub until for the last 4 or 5 minutes, and that, you know, we have a serious bench, you have great options on the bench, but you just couldn't pull anyone those playing. They were playing so well, and I think that it was a reflection of that there. They were going really, really well, and we got the contact in the places we want to get contact, and no, really pleased to get over the line now.
Yeah, it was a cagey enough start. Martin, they went, Guidor went 2 up, but after that I think they won 4 without reply, and that really was the platform for the victory in that first half.
Yeah, probably even before that. I think we kicked 4 wides just before they got their first point. I felt we started the game well, but just didn't show it on the scoreboard. We missed a few ones that we need to look at. Maybe, I don't know, were they the wrong options or wrong players or what it was, just one of them things. But you know, you can't afford to miss them chances too often, and thankfully we responded. After we went 2 down, we responded, we got the goal at a good time too, gave us that cushion, and I think we kind of managed to keep them at arm's length after that there, once we got the 3 up.
Yeah, and a brilliant 1-1 from Jack McKelvey in that first half, and in the second half, Eoghan Doherty kicking on me a couple of points. All your main men were around the middle, were controlling it, and then I thought Kevin McGettigan as well was everywhere on the pitch tonight.
Yeah, Kevin's quality. You know, we've been saying it for years, he's probably tied up there in the corner. He's a brilliant footballer. Kevin's one of the best footballers in our club, and he's such a good marker as well. We defend him cornerback, and I compare him to Lacey all the time. When Lacey was a cornerback, he's a real football cornerback, and Kevin's that too. He's brilliant, and when he does get freed up and he gets forward, he gives us so much as well. So delighted for him tonight. And Eoghan, as you say, got 2 great scores in the second half, the left foot, both of them, and if he gets a pocket of space, he'll exploit it too.
Yeah, and Martin, it was a really tough season, I suppose, starting off with the championship for you guys to come in to be that ready before this season's championship already was going to kick off, and now we are back yourselves in Kilkerr again.
Yeah, look, it's going to be a big weekend preparing for that there, because they've been brilliant since the start of this championship. They've been brilliant, and the scores are bitten up and conceding very little, so they haven't, I think, the last 3 games maybe, 9 points maybe, and well, if you take the Guidor game out, you know, there wasn't too many players playing that, but I think 8 or 9 points in 3 games is all they conceded, combined 3 games, so they've really shored up defensively. They're really, really strong back there, so scores will be hard to come by next week.
Yeah, listen, set up for cracking semi-finals. Ryan, just looking across, Ryan, the relegation playoffs, did we have a couple of shocks in that? I'm not too sure many people would have called a 1-2 there for Milford and Ardragh going into those 2 games.
No, definitely not. And yeah, like the relegation playoffs, it's, you know, it's a bit different. Like, you know, it's a different type of football. You know, it's probably, you know, you have to go in with the right frame of mind. And, you know, I wasn't at the Glenswilly game, so I can't say that they didn't go in with the right frame of mind. But I thought Bundoran, you know, were very, very open. I know they were missing a lot of players, but there was a lot of space for the Milford players, and you know, like, they took full advantage. They'd won 10, scored in the first half, and you know, they played some great football, you know, but like, Bundoran left themselves very exposed, and you very, very rarely see that in relegation playoff games, because it's usually tight and cagey. And I suppose Ardra, you know, CJ Malloy came up trumps yesterday with a late goal to give Ardra a big victory over Glen Swilly. And, you know, Milford and Ardra will be thrilled. You know, their season is over now. The boys can sit down on Tuesday night and look forward to the Champions League, Brendan. Whereas, you know, Bundoran and Glen Swilly, they'll be back out in the training field. They'll have 2 weeks to prepare for their next game. And, you know, it's difficult. Like, it's a slippery slope in the relegation playoff. And, you know, it mightn't necessarily be, you know, the best quality side that wins those games. It could be the team that are geared up for it, that wants it the most, that are prepared to play in the tough conditions and get the results. So, you know, there's a couple of big teams, big clubs left in that relegation playoffs. And, you know, there's a couple of big games this weekend as well. You have Glenfinnan, Killybegs and Terminal Four Masters. So, you know, it'll be very interesting to see who that side is who drops out over the next couple of weeks, because I definitely think there was a couple of surprises there at the weekend.
Certainly was. I actually had a couple of pints with Damien Devaney last night, our draw manager. I didn't bother interviewing him at that point, Ryan. It might have been a bit dangerous, but our draw coming out 1 point victors over Glen Swilly. Fair play to them. And I say Milford accounting for Bundoran 1-15-1-7. Ryan, look, just switching to intermediate championship there. Couple of big performances put in at the weekend. Dunloe with a big victory, Neve Columba again, Clonmacnoise with a tough task against Mallon coming out on top, and Buncrana accounting for Fannad there. That intermediate championship set up for a couple of cracking semi-finals now. Real top quality teams coming through.
Yeah, and like, to be fair, it's probably a bit of a disappointing weekend in the intermediate championship. Usually, you know, the quarterfinals can serve up some really close games, and that didn't really materialise over the weekend. You know, like, I think I think the four teams left in it are undoubtedly the best four teams left, and they are good, strong sides. I'm not so sure if the supporting cast was as strong this year, like, and you know, maybe you've seen that with the results over the weekend. And you know, I think Fannad put up a good battle against Buncrana yesterday, but you know, Buncrana were probably always still going to win that game, and we're always in control. Like, and you know, so I think you've got the four teams left in it, and maybe that competition will really start to ignite this weekend with the semi-finals.
Yeah, certainly. And listen, Dunloe, of course, 1-12-1-2. Another big performance. People are asking had they got big tests this year. I suppose that test is going to come now in the semi-final to see if they can make the bounce straight back to senior.
Yeah, and like, you know, they were without Daniel Ward at the weekend, and you know, he's a big player. He's a very good forward with a nice left foot, and you know, he seems to be struggling a wee bit with injury, I'm told, you know, so he's a big loss. But they're still getting the results, the momentum behind them, you know, things, you know, they had a good league campaign, and the championship has gone quite well for them. And you know, they've young players in there, like the likes of Oisin Boner, who's really impressed this year at full forward. Like, so they'll be going well. Like, I've seen Mark Curran play this year. You know, he's a former county minor and under 20 player. He's going really well in the back line. And, you know, they're playing Neve Columba this weekend. Will he be the man for Aaron Doherty? Very possibly, I would think. Like, you know, and like, if they can put if they can control Aaron Doherty, Dunloe will feel they have a great chance to get into this intermediate final.
Yeah, set up for, I think you're right, Ryan. At this point, the supporting cast maybe didn't put it up to them, but certainly very difficult games to call. Fascinating games. Dunloe, Neve Columba, both playing brilliant football in intermediate there. And of course, Buncrana and the Clonmacnoise backstory as well, trying to make their third final in a row, Ryan, after losing two. Big season for them as well.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the one thing you would say about Clonmacnoise, you know, maybe things are, they're without a couple of important players, and you would, I suppose, maybe they would be fearful that things maybe just aren't going their way. Like, they were comfortable against Mallon at the weekend. They were always going to win that game, but they lost Darren McKeever to injury, and he's an important player. He's a big man in the middle of the field. You know, John Fitzgerald, their best full forward, is out injured. You know, I don't know if he's going to be back over the next couple of weeks. Kevin Mulhern is also out injured. So, like, they are vital, vital players. And, you know, it's going to be tough without those men. You know, I know they got past Buncrana last year without John Fitzgerald, but it's just not the way, I suppose, that they would like to be going into this game. You know, and they're going to need big performances from the likes of Jason McGee to really get them through. Now, they're defensively, they are quite strong. I thought Michael Fitzgerald had a very good game at the weekend. Kieran McFadden is a good player. You've got Mark Harley, kind of around the middle. You know, to win that intermediate championship, you need to be pretty much at full strength. That's what we've seen over the last few years anyway. You know, Buncrana, John Campbell, by all accounts, very good yesterday. You know, the Keelan McGonigal in the middle of the field. So, you know, they will provide a stern test this weekend. That could be a cracker.
Ryan, listen, brilliant roundup there. I'll get on the fixtures committee here and make sure there's no Sunday evening games. Say they'd be putting too much pressure on you, and I'll catch you around these semi-finals next weekend. I'm joined by former County star, now Highland Radio pundit. It is Maureen O'Donnell. Maureen, how are you this evening?
Great, Brendan. How's it going?
Very good, very good. Mo, what day's action yesterday in the senior, particularly the senior and the intermediate. Mo, before we get to this epic tussle between Glenfinnan and Termon, it's going to go down, I think, as one of the greatest finals ever. Mo, just a word on the intermediate. Mo, St Union's, you know, 4 out of 5 finals being defeated and finally getting across the line, and hopefully Mo as well be a good addition to the senior championship and maybe come up with a side that can progress and aim for a senior title, and I suppose make that championship, I suppose, more interesting in terms of teams with strength and depth in it.
Yeah, come here, Brendan. Listen, it's great to see St Junas finally getting over the hurdle. You know, I suppose they weren't going to let yesterday's game run away with them. As you say, 4 finals. It's about time they got over the line now. And I mean, up into senior championship is only going to strengthen them as a team. You know, you're playing with the top teams, so, you know, probably be a bit difficult at the onset of it, Brendan, but it's the only way to progress. You know, if you want to become a competitive team in the senior championship, it's better off to get them teams up. The likes of Buncrana have been up there now and, you know, doing really, really well up in the senior championship. St Noel's only come up last year to the senior championship. I mean, they had a rough enough year, you know, it's tough for them, but you try and get over the hurdle and stay with it at senior level, and you're up now for 2 years, so it definitely means that, you know, the team will be striving to get better. So it's good to see them get over the line there. Quite comprehensive victory there. They defeated Fannett by 7 points down in Mufford yesterday, so it's really, really promising for seniors coming up. And as you say, it will strengthen the senior championship. Things in the senior championship, I suppose, can say a bit stale with the same teams all the time, so it's nice to see a new team coming up there, Brendan.
Yeah, perfect. Well, do you remember years ago, obviously, when Maria and I was playing, Unions had a really, really strong team. How did it go so wrong? Does that go back from underage, or was just there was a really good team, and when that team ended, there was going to be a drop off, or how can you explain that with St Unions?
Yeah, and listen, you know, St Junan's was a team years ago. Termon was relatively unheard of, you know, before they were down in junior championship, and senior St Junan's was a senior team, because I remember at the time Termon had folded, you know, in the early 2000s, like, and I had to sign up for St Junan's at the time. We won a couple of senior championships, but Termon were nowhere in the radar then, you know. So I guess it does come down to the amount of commitment you put on it underage, you know. And it's a thing too as well, where there's swings and roundabouts. We talk about this in Gaelic football. There are teams at the top for a while, they lose the hunger, they lose the players, not enough players coming through. We see it now, maybe even at Donegal and the Donegal team, you know, there's a lot less quality players kind of coming through, sifting through at the minute at underage. You need to develop maybe more, and that's what's happening among clubs as well. You can see some of the teams coming up there, like even Junior A and Junior B yesterday. Mallon's coming forward, and Robert Emmons are coming forward as well, and there's a number of great quality teams in that. But like, St Junan's haven't been up now for a while. This is their first time in senior championship for a long time. But I was looking back yesterday at the statistics. Pre-2010, it was Mavill and 4 Masters, you know. So after Unions came 4 Masters, and Mavill were very strong. And now we see Glenfinnan and Termon dominating over the last 10 years of football. And, you know, when you look at Glenfinnan beating Termon yesterday for the second successive title, you know, you say to yourself, is this Termon? Are Termon on the way down now, you know, after having such a success over the last 10 years? So that's generally what happens. It'll be interesting to see now the senior championship next year and how it'll take form. Maybe with St. Junan's coming forward as well. But St. Junan's have a lot of young players. I think that's what it's about too. Brendan, a lot of the more experienced players move on, you know, when they retire, and then you're trying to bring the young ones in and get them that experience as well.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. They play Steelstown now in the Intermediate Ulster Championship. Good luck to St. Junan's in that. Mo, I just I caught a bit of your commentary as I was just heading up to Ballybuffet yesterday, and this game, you know, when I heard you on describing it, I was like, that just seems phenomenal. At the time I had left it, it was just, the time was almost up. Tiernan had gone 2 points ahead. And then the news filtered through about the extra time and that. I mean, yeah. 123-218. It was hard, I suppose, Mo, to take it all in. It seems like just a phenomenal tussle. And Glenn Finn, as you say, back-to-back champions.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, Ben. I mean, what can I say about the game? I anticipated there was going to be a very, very tight game. You know, Tiernan were looking to right the wrong of 2020 when, if you remember, Glenn Finn had beat them by 7-7 to 2-10. Now, it sounds better when you say there are 4 goals in the difference, you know, on that, but it was a real trumming on the day. But that was down to maybe errors were made early on in the game and goals were got very early in the game, and Tiernan found it very difficult to chase that lead throughout the whole game, and Glenn Finn were on the momentum then. So, I mean, Tiernan wanted to write that yesterday, and to be fair to the girls, they were absolutely amazing out in the field, and, you know, they would have been worthy winners in the end too as well. You could have given the cup to both teams because they were both out on their feet. You know, there was purple patches throughout the game for both sides. Definitely somewhere you wouldn't want to be if you had heart problems yesterday, Brendan, because I'm telling you, there were supporters in the line, and at one stage, Glenn Finn supporters were down one sideline, and Tiernan supporters, and there was points being cancelled out in both ends, so it was an end-to-end sort of ping-pong sort of game, and it was, you mean, it had hard hits. It was a very thrilling end-to-end game, and you know, it was even controversial at times as well, Brendan, because as you say, we'll go into this, there was maybe Geraldine got a free kick, and there was probably 5 minutes of injury time, and this was an ordinary time. So at the end of the second half, we were deep into injury times at that stage. It was 5 minutes into injury time, and then there was, you know, Glenn Finn went up. Obviously, Geraldine had levelled it at that stage, and we actually all thought it was over at that stage because we were so deep into injury time. Even 5 minutes, we would have said, where did it come out of? But Glenn Finn went up then, and for the 3 minutes of injury time was played, so 8 minutes of injury time at the end of the second half was played, and Glenn Finn actually levelled the game to put it into extra time. Now at that stage we didn't know it was going to go to extra time, so we thought maybe it was going to be a replay, but then with the Ulster Championship next weekend, had to go to extra time, Bren. But what a siege of football. Let's talk about the first half of extra time. Glenn Finn really come out, and they went 3 points up at the end of that half. They were brilliant in that, and definitely dominated that half, the second half, or the first half of extra time. And to the second half of extra time, Tiernan lost Nicole McLaughlin then to the Sunburn, so that was a big blow to Tiernan. But like, with maybe the last 4 minutes, you know, remaining, it was a cracking 4 minutes. Saw both sides scoring two points apiece to leave it 1 point game in Glenn Finn's favour, but it just wasn't to be for Tiernan in the end, you know. So Glenn Finn coming out, I suppose, at the end of it, you know, I'd say they were coming out fairly relieved, you know. So it was a game where Tiernan were down at times, Glenn Finn levelled it, Glenn Finn were down at times, Tiernan levelled it, just had it all, you know, and it was a great advertisement for ladies football, Brendan.
Yeah, but brilliant. Mo, listen, you put that very well. It just looks like the type of game where you nearly both of them, like, no one deserved to lose, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And
what a tussle. Listen, I have to mention Geraldine, of course, you know, at 116 again, just the scoring rate, yeah. It's unreal stuff. Mo, no, people say, looking at that and being on the losing side again, but I suppose no one in Tiernan deserved maybe to be on the losing side in such a tight game. But I mean, Geraldine again, I mean, shooting out the lights there. And of course, a special mention to Yvonne Boner a few weeks after having a baby, with a brilliant contribution as well. So there was a lot happening in that game.
Oh, come here, listen, hey, and you know, probably the likes of those performances tend to outshine other people on the field, where that wasn't the case yesterday because there was total team performances by both sides, you know, Brendan, like, but it's hard not for those players not to be the talking point of the game, like, as you say, like, when you've Geraldine McLaughlin on a losing side and her scoring 116 off the 218 tally on the day, like, it's just phenomenal when you think about it. You know, she's nominated for that All-Star this year, hopefully she will get it. but like other players for Termon that were playing well, you know, and edging out, like Shannon McLaughlin, Kira McGarvey, Bridget Galler had a phenomenal game. Evelyn had a great game, you know, she had been out for 2 weeks previous to that, you know, with illness, so for to see her coming back in and playing so well, and they were out on their feet to go into extra time as well. And then you look at the Glenfinn side, like you failed to mention that Karen Guthrie there with 11 points. I mean, what a performance as well. I know some of those were free kicks, but you know, absolutely massive for her side as well. Yvonne coming back, I'd say she's not long back, because I'd say the baby, her youngest daughter, might be just 8 weeks. Brendan, so when you see a player coming in and scoring 1-9 in the final, that's just phenomenal. I mean, Jimmy Lee McMahon scored 2 points, and Kitty Long scored a point there as well. So they were added scores, and they run away with 123. So it was 26-24 on the day, 2 point gap. But as I said to you before, you know, you could have given the cup to either team, because the calibre of football that was on display yesterday was just absolutely amazing. It was incredible, Brent, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and Karen Guthrie, you know, I suppose that thing of Glenfinn having those two options, you know, Yvonne, as you say, 1-9 and 1-6 of that from play. You know, it probably is that wee bit more balance that the two of them seem to be able to conjure up high scores in every game. And I suppose it's very positive for them heading into this Ulster club. As you said, straight away next week, Dunamoyne, the Monaghan champions. There's not a lot of time for celebrating. I'd say they had a good night last night, and maybe a few today, but it'll be heads on very quick, because that's a huge game, and they can have a real tilt at this Ulster title.
Aye, come here, listen, it's probably the best time to get Dunamoyne, if I'm honest. Like, you know, you could wait and maybe get Dunamoyne in the final, as we have well seen with Termon and a number of years we've played them in the final. Like, the build-up to a final's nerve-wracking enough, but when you're coming up, like, against a team such as Dunamoyne, who have several All-Irelands under the belt, numerous, I mean, it's countless amount of Ulster victories that they have, you know, so this is probably the best time for Glenfinn to get them, and if they get over that hurdle, they have a real good shot, you know, at Ulster, and play the way they played yesterday, you know, but you know, they'll be very, very hard to beat, you know, as well. So Dunamoyne didn't get out of there. I didn't win their county championship easy either. I think maybe it even went to extra time, you know, so maybe Dunamoyne's that wee bit, have less maybe in their squad this year, you just never know. But I mean, the best of luck to Glenfinn. As I say, if they play anyway near the calibre that they played yesterday, it'll be very, very hard to beat on the day, and you know, we're wishing them well.
Yeah, same as that, Mo. Fair play, Glenfinn, and good luck in your Ulster challenge. Hopefully you can get across the line against Dunamoyne and set up tilt at that Ulster Championship. Listen, thanks very much, Mo, for rounding that up for us and for your commentary yesterday, and I'll speak to you soon. Yeah, great roundup for Maureen O'Donnell there on the Intermediate and Senior Championship Finals. I want to thank her for that input, and also Ryan Ferry earlier for rounding up the Men's Championships. I want to thank Kenneth here for producing, Head of Sport, Oisin Kelly.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love in Sarah's Kitchen.